Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Employers, simplify your pension scheme with a Zurich Master Trust. Zurich Corporate Pensions. Trust excellence. Visit zurichcorporate.ie.
Now, the Catholic Primate Archbishop Eamon Martin has welcomed prayers for lasting peace and harmony in Ireland, which were offered by Pope Francis at St. Peter's Basilica in Rome today, the 25th anniversary of the signing of the Belfast Agreement. And he joins me now on the line. Good evening, Archbishop Martin.
Good evening, Samantha, and happy Easter to you and all your listeners.
Thank you, and I might ask you by beginning with your reaction to that news from Galway there that you were listening to.
Terribly sad, Samantha. I think that there's something about, you know, breaks and holidays whenever we hear these awful tragic incidents on our roads or elsewhere, and our hearts and our prayers really go out to the families impacted this evening. I'm sure they're in a real awful situation, and we're thinking about them, especially in our prayers this evening.
Okay. The Pope made the comments during a ceremony in St. Peter's Basilica. What were the comments expected?
Well, not really. I suppose whenever I heard about it, I was extremely surprised. You know, I heard just yesterday evening that the Pope was considering, you know, remembering in prayer the situation here at his Regina Caeli, which is the 12 o'clock he normally does, the Angelus in St. Peter's Square. So I listened in, like everyone else, just to hope. And yes, indeed, he did. He did mention it. And, you know, I was really moved that he would take the time. I think we've all been following the Pope in the last week or two with his own illness. But clearly he and his own staff are following carefully the various situations around the world. And Ireland has always been close to his heart, so it was very touched by the fact that he would do this.
And Pope Francis obviously visited Ireland before. Is he known to have an interest in the Irish peace process?
Oh, very much so, because in his last major speech on Ireland, which was back when he visited Dublin in 2018 at the World Meeting of the Families, he specifically referenced the Good Friday Agreement because it was around 20 years old at that time. And he acknowledged very much the huge efforts that had been made to reach the agreement. And he did acknowledge specifically in Dublin Castle the contribution of the Irish government and, of course, the other governments in Britain and indeed in the United States, who had supported the peace, you know, through their efforts in the lead up to the Good Friday Agreement. So I also know that any time I'm visiting, if I'm speaking with him or indeed with other of the Secretary of State officials in Rome, they would always be asking for an update and the latest news. And just over last week, I would have sent out to Rome, you know, my own comments about the Good Friday Agreement. So, yes, they follow it very, very closely. And, of course, you know, Pope Francis is very much into fraternity, reconciliation. Yesterday, he did his Urbi et Orbi address, you know, the big one in Rome to the whole world. And he cited Ukraine, Syria, Israel, Palestine, you know, South Sudan, Myanmar, so many places in the world. So clearly he keeps a very close eye on what's happening around the world.
And how important in Northern Ireland is the Pope's message? Will his words about reconciliation be helpful given the current polarised nature of Northern politics?
I think they will. And I think not just his, but all of those who these days are saying, listen, the Good Friday Agreement was an amazing achievement. And we can see that when you see all of the footage on the programmes these days about the painstaking work that went on, the compromises, political compromises, people taking risks for peace. But I certainly feel that sadly, you know, quarter of a century has gone by and a lot of the distrust, the suspicions, you know, paramilitarism still alive and well in many parts of the North. Also the sectarian violence, you know, the attack on the Detective Chief Inspector a few weeks ago. Really, we've a lot of work to do in getting the healing going, you know, and uncovering really the truth and the legacy and the wounds of the past. Because if they're festering underneath, we're not really able to make the kind of progress that was envisioned by the architects of the Belfast Good Friday Agreement.
And the Pope's prayers for lasting peace and harmony, they come amid a backdrop of violent scenes in Derry today. What's your reaction to what's happened there?
I'm actually up at home in Derry myself today, just taking a day off, and the helicopter's been up around the city all afternoon. There's been, you know, riotous incidents. And I think, you know, people are just saddened by this, and they're fed up, really, that, you know, these things are continuing. And you know, we all know that if you have a vacuum in terms of movement, in terms of development and peace, others will move in with sinister motives to capitalize on that. And I really just hope that nothing worse happens, and hopefully things will be quieter this evening.
Do you think that there will be an agreement soon on Windsor House and a commitment to get Stormont re-established? And how important do you think that is?
Well, there has to be. I mean, we've no other choice. I mean, we've done so much to get this far. And really, at some point in time, you know, I think the DUP are going to have to take the decision to return. I'm not sure personally what it is, and I think a lot of people I'm speaking to were really not sure what it is more that they wish and what they expect. I think they've a lot to bring to the table. I think that it's only whenever we have our power-sharing devolved assembly up and running that we can tackle the whole issues of, you know, health, education, the things that are impacting us in the north even more than they are in the rest of this island. So, you know, we have huge instances of child poverty. Some of the communities that were worst impacted during the Troubles are still those communities with the least by way of dividend of the peace. There's an awful lot of work to be done, and I hope and pray that all our politicians will get back sitting down together in the devolved assembly.
Before I let you go, can I ask you about Pope Francis's health? We know he was hospitalised recently and he missed one of the ceremonies on Good Friday because the weather was too cold. He's 86 now. How much concern is there about his ongoing health issues?
Well, I think, you know, anyone of that age, and certainly with the punishing schedule that he seems to give himself, I was amazed. The man got out of hospital one day and he was back in St. Peter's Square at the Palm Sunday celebrations the next day. He's clearly determined. And I hope that he's looking after himself. You know, I know that he's the sort of person who's determined. He wants to do what he does. He continues to make very significant interventions, not just in our own situation, but right around the world. I just keep praying for his health, and I did that night put out a tweet, please pray for the Pope's health. And immediately, people from all over Ireland, all over Europe and the world immediately say, yes, he's in our prayers. I think people want him to continue his really important leadership and ministry.
Have you met him in recent times, and do you think there's any possibility he might follow in Pope Benedict's footsteps and resign from the role at some stage?
It's always a possibility now that Pope Benedict has actually shown that this can be done. But I get a sense that he's really determined. You know, take, for example, the synodal process that's underway. You know, we're continuing to get messages from the Holy Father asking us to encourage the process. I think he's got his eyes fixed on a few more years.
Okay, Catholic Primate Archbishop Eamon Martin, thanks for speaking to us on Drive Time. After the break, we'll be speaking to Kevin Callanan of ICTU.